So we're recording just to let you know, because as I said last time, it's going to be available for other people too. So I'm going to share about, you know, our name is Thirsty. So I'm going to actually share about the subject of thirst, being thirsty. And I want to read in Matthew 5, 6. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed. And it's kind of a way to be blessed by being thirsty. Just by being and continually being thirsty, that opens the door of blessings in our lives. This is what the verse, one of the meanings of this verse, it says that blessed are those who thirst. And for righteousness, for the things of God, because we shall be filled. The key to be filled more and more is to keep on being thirsty and hungry for the things of the Lord. So it's a state that we need to see ourselves, envision ourselves in this state. I want to see myself always being hungry and thirsty for the Lord. And why do I say this? Because being thirsty and hungry, this is against the human, the fallen human nature. We tend to get excited about something, maybe buying or dreaming of getting this sofa or big TV or this computer or this iPad or iWatch or whatever it is, and keep, yes, and some would save money and until they get there, or some would dream about going to that place for vacation, and they keep on just dreaming about it and maybe saving and talk about it and get excited. And then at one point, maybe you get the couch, maybe you get the watch that you've been searching all around, what's the best price, and do everything. And this kind of place where you get excited and there is dynamic in it, and then after a while you got it, the watch, and it becomes like normal, this car or whatever, you know what I mean? So human nature usually tends to, maybe we can thirst and hunger and get excited, because this is one aspect of it, getting excited about something, and then the curve goes down, ups and downs. So our challenge actually as Christians, how to keep ourselves always hungry, always thirsty. And that's important. And Bill Johnson actually, in a conference with pastors, he was sharing about the keys of revival. And he summed it in just one key. Guys, it's one key. The key of revival, the main key of revival, is Proverbs 27:7. And if you have it, you can open. When your soul is full, you turn down even the sweetest honey. But to the hungry soul, any bitter thing is sweet. What does this mean? When you're hungry, you'll appreciate the least thing, the anything that would come your way, any verse, any touch from God is so precious and so big because you're hungry. But when you're satisfied, when you're full, you lose the sensitivity to appreciate the things of God. So one of the key to enjoy and to live the things of God, whatever He has for us, is to always stay hungry, because this will keep us in a state to taste and see and to appreciate and to experience more the things of God. I'm going to give you an example, and I'm sure that you all agree with me. Two people can be in the same meeting where there is a presence of God, and God is moving in that place. One would be so touched and can feel everything that's happening and can listen, wow, that's an amazing insight in this sermon. Wow, what a wonderful worship. I got so touched. Wow, everything makes sense because he's hungry and he's eating, he's absorbing everything. And to the other person, when the meeting is going to end and I keep looking at the watch and you know what I mean? It's the same meeting, but someone is kind of numb, doesn't feel anything. He's satisfied. If I have like a fountain of water in front of me, if I'm really thirsty, I would go and just suck it up, everything. But if I already I had juice, I had pop, I had Coke, and I drank this, and I a glass of wine, and oh, I'm so full. And someone like maybe offer me a cup of water. No, I don't think I'm really... You see, the capacity to receive decreases dramatically when we're not hungry. And our capacity to receive the things of the Lord more and more increases with our thirst and hunger. So we need to see ourselves. We need to keep ourselves. It's a kind of a mandate, something that you... A target you need to focus. I need to keep myself. And you need kind of have this thermometer, spiritual thermometer in your life where you check constantly what is the state of, what is it, my temperature when it comes to my hunger and thirst. And if this is kind of, I'm starting to lose appetite of the things of God. I'm not really hungry for maybe prayer meetings, the presence of God, to sit with the Word. When I sit with the Word, it's becoming more and more like it's a homework. I have to finish it because I have to do the checklist on this and that. You know what I mean? If it becomes like this, then there's something wrong. So when your soul is full, you turn down even the sweetest honey. But to the hungry, even the things that maybe, I'm not sure if that meeting or the prayer meeting was that, but someone who's hungry, wow, the presence of God. And I'm not talking about just faking things. It's not a language, oh, that every time you see, wow, the meeting was amazing, praise God. No, no, it's a sense of, you feel it, that any opportunity, the least thing, even the least amount of the presence makes sense to you, and you appreciate and you absorb and you take everything as much as you can. You get the idea. So that's actually set the temperature for an atmosphere for revival. And because actually I'm starting a series from tomorrow in the Thursday nights. I'm going to speak about revival for the next period. I'm not sure until when. But this is what I have on my heart. And one of the things we want to set the atmosphere, prepare the atmosphere, prepare the way of the Lord. And one of the main things that are actually, this is a starting point, is that we need to be hungry. And if we don't have it, guess what? It's okay. We ask Him simply, Lord, stir a hunger in my heart. Do it, Lord. You touch me and stir this hunger. I'm not sure it is one of the books of the little prophets that says that I will send. It's a promise that the Lord will send a hunger, not hunger for the food, but He will send hunger for the Word of God, for the things of God. And we need, even if we're in a state that we're numb, that the Lord would send thirst and hunger in our lives. We have concerns if one of our children, like if a child loses appetite, it's a sign that something is wrong, right? When you start to see a child, if you're a mom or a dad, and you see your child, I don't want to eat. There's something, as a mother or as a father, that stirs you. No, this is wrong. What's wrong? And you need to fix it because you have concern if your child stays, he's not hungry at all, right? So it's a sign that something wrong, and we should perceive it the same way spiritually. If we're not hungry, you know that there is something wrong with you spiritually. Something is wrong with me. And one of the biggest challenge, actually, in the Christian life, to stay hungry. You see, many times we focus that our maybe biggest challenge is to stay holy away from sin and to do what's right, and this is usually the normal culture. But actually we need to repent or have a change the way we think, because our main challenge is to stay hungry and to keep this state in our hearts. And a week ago, actually, I was reading a book, and wow, it touched me, and it made sense. I read this sentence: hunger humbles. When you're satisfied, it's a sign of arrogance and pride. Hunger humbles. I want you to think about it a little bit. When you're hungry, it speaks about your humility. On the other hand, when you're satisfied, it's kind of arrogance, because this meeting or this prayer meeting or this book, you know, I know what they're gonna say, or this conference, do I need to go to Asbury there? I know, it's nice. I looked it on the YouTube. It looks like a normal meeting. You know, you got it. I know everything. Everything is under control. So when we are satisfied, it's a sign of arrogance and pride. But actually, hungry people are humble people, because they always give space that they are in need for more, that what they have is not enough. They feel like they are poor and they want more. And blessed are the poor, because they will experience the kingdom of God, the things of the kingdom. So actually, being hungry, it's a sign of humility. Think about that. And think about, like usually, maybe churches and church goers, how they think, we go to church and we know every sermon. But when you're hungry, you sit and you're expecting, while listening to, for example, a sermon or preaching, you're expecting that the Lord will give you revelation, something new. Even if the person who's talking, maybe he's not the best preacher, he's not your favorite preacher or teacher, but because you're hungry, you create an atmosphere that the Lord can come and give you revelation, even from a little child. When someone, very simple, maybe a new Christian speaks, but because you have the state, you are able. Actually, the last few years, I found myself, this hunger increasing inside of me, that I found myself going to people who started their Christian walk, and I felt that I need them to pray for me. And this is one of the things that you guys have seen doing here in the Thirsty family, when we gather and we pray to each other, when we allow the kids to pray for us. And maybe they say simple stuff, maybe it's funny sometimes, it's very simple. But when you're hungry, you are able to kind of tune your antenna to get and receive, even from the simplest sources. Does this make sense? Yeah. And can you see the relation between being hungry and humility? This is huge. That's why it's important to stay. It's the biggest challenge in the Christian life, to stay hungry. In the natural, I'm going to change to another point. I want to be aware of the time. In the natural, you get hungry by not eating. If you stay, for example, the whole day, you haven't eaten anything at all, by the end of the day, you get hungry, right? In the spiritual realm, it's exactly the opposite. When you eat good spiritual stuff, it stirs hunger inside of you. When you're exposed to the goodness of God and the things of God, the promises of God, the things that you know that this is in your inheritance, and you start to realize, wow, this is for me too, wow, then it stirs a hunger. And I want to speak to you about different things. Maybe I'm going to go a little bit into practical things and then jump back into meditating. But I want to be practical at the same time. So in the natural, you get hungry by not eating. In the spiritual, by eating, when you are, it's by eating, like you get hungry. And how you eat, when you are exposed to something good. I need to be exposed more and more. So it's very simple. How to stay hungry? You need to put the effort to expose yourself to the things of God more. That means, having said this, you become passionate about the things you were exposed to. I want to give you three things that from my personal life I've seen, like different channels through which the Lord stirs hungers inside of me. One of the things is being exposed to stories of revival. Testimonies, whether in the Bible or in even things that are contemporary. So when we hear about revival, when we hear, for example, what happens in the Azusa Street, when we hear what happens with the Welsh revival, when we hear what happens in the Book of Acts, when we expose ourselves more and more, and we search into them, we read we watch documentaries about them, whatever it is, we expose ourselves to them, something happens. We fill our mind and our hearts with these things, so it stirs a hunger that the Lord would come and replicate this stuff and do it one more time. And stories of revival, testimonies, it's good. We want to get hungry to see more and more signs and wonders. Maybe if you're after a breakthrough, for example, to see a breakthrough against the cancer of specific sickness or in this area, or maybe deliverance, whatever the Lord has put on your heart. So you need to focus to search and to be exposed to testimonies of other believers or other ministers who got this breakthrough, and do it intentionally and focus more and more, not just being random or general. I need to focus for the things that I want to be hungry for, because that helps me to get the breakthrough. When I am exposed to this, it stirs the hunger to go to this direction and to experience this stuff. Does this make sense? So one of the ways is to be exposed to stories of revival, to testimonies, whether in the Bible or things that are contemporary. Second thing, it's a practical thing, is and this is what you see me encourage a lot, by attending conferences that have this kind of things that you hunger for. For example, if you're hungry to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I need to attend conferences that not talk about the Holy Spirit, but they really experience, there is manifestation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If I want to get hungry for healing, for example, this is one of the main things. I want to go and be exposed in an atmosphere where healing is happening. So it stirs hunger inside of me. So when I get back, this hunger leads me to a breakthrough. And I'm going to go into this in a moment. The third thing is fellowship more and more with like-minded people. If you're hungry for a specific direction, you need to put effort not to be general in your fellowship. That doesn't mean you cut off all your relationship. And this, by no means, I don't mean this at all. And I'm sure you understand. But you need to be intentional to fellowship and be intentional in making fellowship with like-minded people who are focused and who are thirsty and hungry in the same direction. Because there is something, when you put this two people together or these people together, it stirs something, and there is a spiritual law that says that one equals 1,000 and two, 10,000. When this verse was mentioned, it was mainly when you attack the enemy, because one will conquer 1,000 and two shall conquer 10,000. But the same principle is in unity, when people who have unity in the same thirst and hunger, what happens is that they achieve more together. And I always remember, and maybe you heard it before, that this unity that the Lord has allowed it between, at one point, and still continue, I assume, between Randy Clark and Bill Johnson, they met in a place where they were hungry for a breakthrough for healing. And the impact they had on each other, like, I remember how each one separately speaks that this guy, when he entered into my life, like he launched me into a different thing. They were pursuing the same dreams, and they didn't have the breakthrough that they were wishing. But something happened when they had this kind of fellowship. And it wasn't a coincidence that in 2000, and I'm not sure, 10 or 11, I was in a conference, and I didn't know Randy Clark and Bill Johnson at that time. And they were at the same conference, and I got to see them for the first time, actually. I think so, yeah. And it was in Los Angeles. And it happened that they were at the same hotel where I was. And I was with Sammy Arsene, if you remember him. And we were eating breakfast, and and he told me, "Look who's behind you. Bill Johnson and Randy Clark were having breakfast." And later on, I from their discussion, they would say that when they had this kind of breakfast together, they would start to share, "What is your breakthrough? What's happening? What are you after during this time?" And they stirred the hunger and thirst into each other by just fellowshipping together. I'm giving this an example. That was in 2010. And from then to now, the breakthroughs and the things that they have seen kept, like, it's increasing. I know it's kind of, it's not off topic, but I wanna stir you a little bit, if I would, that you need to make different kind of connections and fellowship and friendship. Does this make sense? Not the normal thing. Don't cut your normal thing, but be intentional and put more effort and invest time of your effort. If you wanna see breakthrough, get with people and not just say, "Oh, did you hear what happened with that guy? What happened with Biden and Ford and whatever here and there and the economy and that?" This is normal. I'm not saying it's a sin to do this stuff, but the more you get hungry, these kind of things, like, I'm being honest. When I sit with people, I love to sit with people in general. But when we talk about general stuff, it's okay for me. But something happens when we start to speak about the things that I'm really hungry about. I start to come out of, if I would say, out of my sleep. Yeah, like, I'm almost gonna sleep, or, "Oh, it's okay. Yeah, yeah, it's nice." When subjects start to open about, "Oh, you know, what's your intake about this? What's your input about that? And we, what's the revelation God has given you?" And I remember I had this kind of times back when I visit Egypt and I meet Micha, because we have things in common into this stuff. And when I meet him sometimes now, maybe busy, not like before, but when we get together and about speak about subject, something happens inside of me about and sometimes we can argue, "Oh, but do you think this?" And maybe we're different about it, but kind of going in the same direction and have the same passion and thirst and hunger, it builds. And I don't know why I'm around this point, I'm singing, but I feel there's something prophetic here is being released right now among us. I'm not sure if that makes sense to anyone, but it makes lots of sense for me. So anyway, I want to also go into Isaiah 29, verse 8. This is a lovely verse. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreams, and look, he eats. It's a full verse. I'm just taking the first part, because he's talking about something different. But look with me here. It shall even be as a hungry man dreams. Hunger leads to dreaming. And when you don't hunger and thirst, what happens? Your dreams die. So hungry people are dreamers, and that's exciting. And we want to be dreamers, because this is how God created us, for every one of us to be a dreamer. And to be a dreamer, you need to be hungry. Hunger leads to dreams. Does this make sense? And I want to be a dreamer. I want to dream with God. I want to receive His dreams for me. I don't want to live a normal life. Yeah, I live and I raised kids and I got this house and everything is settled and I got this good job. What are you dreaming about? Can you make a stop in your life? Because life is running, you know? I can't believe. The other day I was telling Sherry, what? Zoe is like next month gonna be a sweet 16. Zoe, 16? That's crazy. Yes. I remember just she was born the other day. You know what I mean? So time is flying more and more. So I want to ask you, like, what are you dreaming to achieve, like, in the next 5 or 10 years from now? After 5 years or 10 years, where do you dream to be spiritually? Where are you heading? What are your goals? Being hungry, it energizes your dreams and launches you into dreaming, this is how we should live as dreamers. Remember the verse that the brothers of Joseph, when they saw him coming, look, here's a dreamer. He was a dreamer, but guess what? He was the only one who became the second after Pharaoh, who rescued a nation because he was a dreamer. And we want to be like this. Don't let anything kill you. Kill that inside of you. Normal life, surrendering to normal life, will kill the dreams. And everyone in this place, everyone who's listening to me, should be a dreamer, because this is who God created you to be. In Exodus 33, it's a part in the Bible that I always like to go to. And Moses said, please show me your glory. Moses, if there is one thing about him, I know that we can say many things about him, but I always see one thing about this guy. He was hungry and thirsty. Because after everything he have witnessed and experienced, he saw the sea split in front of his eyes. He saw miracles by his rod. He saw everything. All kind of miracles that no one else have seen. He entered into the cloud and the glory. He everything, the manna, the water out of the rock, you name it, everything happened. And after these years, at the end of his years, guess what he's praying? And when he's in front of God, Lord, please show me your glory. What are you talking about? And someone else would say, oh, thank you, Lord. Everything, I've tasted everything and I'm satisfied and thank you. Many people didn't get to experience what I've experienced. And I want to be vulnerable and honest with you. Sometimes when I experience a breakthrough in a miracle here or there, I remember one time when I came back from Syria and I just heard the news that 3 people in a meeting got healed from cancer. 2 of them brain cancer, like we're talking about serious stuff. And I remember while driving the car to the airport, Lord, I'm ready to go to heaven now. Because I was so excited, because I felt I reached something I've been praying for years, and And after many defeats and praying and people dying and many defeats, you know, and I see this breakthrough, I felt that that's awesome, Lord. Just take me now. I'm ready to go to heaven. That's fine. But I go back, you know, but it creates hunger. I want to pursue more. So Moses, after everything he witnessed, would pray, show me your glory, Lord. Would we be this kind of people, not praying it out? No, it has to come out of really hunger and thirst inside of us. Our main problem Our main problem sometimes is that we get satisfied with a revelation. So I remember for the longest time in my spiritual life, I would sit and some wonderful quiet time. The presence of God is here and I can feel him and he starts to speak to me and this word jumps out of the Bible in front of me. Wow, so juicy, so full, and you know this kind of experience and you get this revelation and you get so happy and you come out of your quiet time, you felt you had an encounter with the Lord, you had this revelation and you share it and maybe preach about it and people, wow, that's so nice, I never seen this before. And because as a preacher, I get to experience this. But we get satisfied at the point of revelation, while the revelation should lead me to a breakthrough into the experience. And we should never be satisfied with the level of revelation. Revelation is only an invitation. Remember this. Revelation is an invitation to what you can experience. But if you get happy, I don't blame myself. I don't blame you to be happy. But don't be satisfied. This is where thirst and hunger jumps in here. Is that don't be satisfied with the revelation until it ushers you into the experience. Does this make sense? Because this is where most believers get satisfied and they stop. Wow. And we feel, wow, the Lord is talking to us in a very profound and very powerful way. And we feel that this is the ceiling. But when it's actually, it's a powerful invitation to our inheritance. And thirst and hunger that this revelation would become and be transformed into an experience. This should be our normal Christian life. So I want to finish with what are the hindrances to being thirsty? Number one, the things of the world. Luke 8:14 says, now the ones, it speaks about the parable of the sower and the seeds. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. This is what Luke 8:14 says. The seeds that fell among the thorns, there are thorns that tries to kill the seed of revelation that comes to you when the Lord gives you a revelation. There's still revelation in itself is not the end. I'm not gonna repeat, but when these seeds come into my heart, be careful because there is the thorns that try to kill. The thorns, what are the thorns? It speaks about when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, humum al-hayah, the riches, al-ghina, and pleasures of life. So I want to ask myself this very important. Are there any thorns in my life? Because thorns, this kind of thorns, you try to be thirsty, you try to be hungry, but with the existence of thorns, at the same times, the seeds will die and the thirst will be quenched and will stop. And I need to make sure, because see the problem, I want to say it in a different way. You can try to keep on being hungry and thirsty and keep, and you're pursuing this and you're running into this. But at the same time, you're carrying the thorns with you. So you will not get far because of the thorns. And the thorns will always kind of cause bleeding, spiritual bleeding in your life. The cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this world will always be like this. So I want to examine myself. Maybe one of us, it's all about cares. I do care about my children, about their future, and about their health, about this and this. And this is sucking your spiritual energy. Someone else, oh, I have this dream. I need to finish the mortgage. And I have this plan to do this. And with the money I have, I want to do this. And you, it's sucking your energy in a way. The pleasure, oh, we want to do this, and we want to be restful more, maybe more vacation, maybe do this and that, since we achieved and everything. I want to enjoy this and do that and try this new gadget, this technology, this and that, that. This sucks your spiritual energy. These are thorns, different thorns. Maybe you think because you don't have care, but so you don't have thorns. No, everyone has his own fashioned thorns. They are prepared from the enemy specifically for you, because the enemy knows your character, knows your vulnerability, weaknesses. So he fashions and he designs specific thorns that he knows that it can hit you. So the first thing that stops or kills the hunger and thirst in our lives are the thorns. From Luke 8:14, the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life. Number two, what affects the thirst and hunger in life? Disappointments and scars from battles. You enter into a battle for cancer. You enter a battle to see a breakthrough. You were waiting for this, and you got hit because of disappointment, because things didn't work the way you expected. You were expecting God to show up maybe in your life or people's life for your prayer or intercession for your children, whatever it is. And you were plagued with disappointments. And it hits you and there are scars. And when I talk about scars, that's something that's still there. You're carrying them. And it's causing bleeding in a way. And this is where comes the expression that I like to use. There are so many wounded warriors. Warriors. That's who they are. This is how they started. They wanted to fight the good fight. They wanted to have the breakthrough. They wanted to achieve and see and run with the Lord. But they, disappointment after disappointment, scars from here, from there, offenses, different things. So it killed the appetite, the faculty inside of you that stirs this hunger and thirst. You find yourself numb. You don't have it inside of you to thirst and hunger, and you don't have energy. When we talk about go and being exposed to this revival here, or this atmosphere of healing there, or this and there, so you get stirred more and more. You lost it because of disappointment. What will happen? It's not working anymore. You know, something died, maybe, inside of you. Number three, the third and last thing, I will close with this. I'm talking about the three hindrances of being thirsty and hungry. Number one is the cares, pleasure, riches of the world. Number two is disappointments and scars from battles. Number three, simply human nature. Our human nature is not designed to stay hungry by default. You need to work it out. If you leave yourself to your human nature, you won't be thirsty and hungry. It's something that has to do with the spiritual workout. You need to have the discipline not to leave yourself to the human nature. And what is what's in the human nature that has to do with hunger and thirst is that we, as humans, change. Only God doesn't change. And because we change, maybe you, today or in a conference, you're in a state, you're very hungry. Maybe the people who just came back from India, they've seen like crazy stuff and amazing stuff, and they're going to be sharing, I believe, hopefully tomorrow. I wanted to ask you to share tomorrow. Maybe you can share some for the family meeting too. But anyway, they came and they were on the top of the mountain, and things were amazing. And they're excited, and they saw what the Lord can do through them. So that created hunger. But guess what? Maybe after a week or maybe a month from now, things happens, we change. And the same hunger by default is not there. So our human nature always ups and downs, waveform, you know, like, so I need to understand that this is, so why am I sharing this? Because if one day you wake up and you feel, why am I not hungry like before? And you start to feel this kind of accusation or self-condemnation, and you blame yourself, why? No, it's okay. You're human. Human changes. The emotion changes. That's what our emotion tells us. Maybe you sleep very happy and you were laughing, and sometimes, what happened? Why is it? Everything was good yesterday evening. Why I feel this way? Why I'm turned off completely? Everything is, why? It's human nature. But the good thing is that you don't have to surrender to this and to accept it. No. We need to have discipline. I love the way Andrew Womack put it. I need to tell my emotion what you should feel. Emotion, yes, you don't feel happy, but I command you to be happy right now. I know that's not the best thing to say, especially to women, but sometimes, like, you need guys to understand that ladies are different, and but I need to tell myself, no, I will not accept these feelings. I will command myself to be happy. I command myself not to be sad. I command myself not to let in to depression. I need to command myself, I'm going to be thirsty. I'm going to stir hunger. I'm going to work it out. I will not look at myself, oh, I don't feel like this, so I follow myself this way. You know what I mean? I have to work out my human nature and do not allow this to control me in any way. So these are the three hindrances. And I want to close by, if we can pray, maybe we're going to pray for 3-4 minutes, and then we close and start sharing and praying for each other. But we want to pray about the things that we heard today. I'm not sure what the Lord has spoken to you, but Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word that says, blessed are the hungry, the thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and those who thirst for righteousness, for they shall be fed and filled in Jesus' name. And Father, I bless my brothers and sisters right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you would stir hunger. How about we pray for ourselves right now? Maybe put your hand over your heart and say, Lord, give me the grace to stay hungry and thirsty for the things of God, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for the move of God, for the presence of God, hungry and thirsty for the glory. Lord, I pray that as the hungry dreams, we pray that you would stir hunger in our hearts that would lead us to dream with you and start to see our future through our dreams in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that the thirst and hunger would be the pathway from where we are and where we know what you have on your heart for us to where we should be and live and experience. In Jesus' name, we will not be a generation that receive a promise like the people of Israel when they receive the promise and the word that the Lord wants to get them out of the land of Israel into the promised land. We will not be the people who will die in the wilderness. In Jesus' name, if you want to lift your hand with me as a sign of faith, I will be the generation that will possess the land. In Jesus' name, I will dream with God. I will hunger and thirst for a higher level, for major breakthroughs. I'm going to be a history maker. I'm going to change the world. I hunger and thirst for revival. Hallelujah. For the true anointing to be used mightily in healing, deliverance, salvation, to bring reformation into this land, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray beyond this meeting that something supernaturally happens in our atmosphere, individually and corporately together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.